General Meeting, Wheaton, August 1973. Address by Brother Pilkington.
Could we sing number 46 at the back of the book? Have I an object, Lord, below, which would divide my heart with thee, which would divert its even flow and answer to thy constancy? Oh, teach me quickly to return and cause my heart afresh to burn. Have I a hope, however dear, which would defer thy coming, Lord, which would detain my spirit here where naught can lasting joy afford? From it, my Savior, set me free to look and long and wait for thee. Number 46 at the back of the book.
Have I an object, Lord, below, which would divide my heart with thee, which would ever give me that flow? Yeah.
How searching, beloved, that hymn we have sung together, and how it becomes us to search our own hearts and to ask ourselves this afternoon if we do have an object before us that would hinder or deter the coming of our Lord Jesus. Perhaps, beloved, we do not utter it with our lips, but perhaps in our hearts there is some desire that we are craving after, which would, in other words, speak more loudly than our words. Yes, which if words were to utter what we have upon our hearts, perhaps it might say, Lord, don't come today. I was speaking to a child of God once, and in speaking of the soon return of our Lord Jesus Christ, they said, oh, you don't think he's coming yet a while, do you? I have other things I want to do first. And beloved, I'm sure that may be true of each one of us at some time or other, and how good it is to have an object for our soul this afternoon. We've had brought before us much of Christ during these 3 days of meetings. We had brought before us yesterday afternoon that solemn word, follow me. This afternoon I'd like to speak on three words, and the first word is watch. Watch. So we turn to Matthew 26. Chapter of Matthew. Shall we begin reading from verse 30? And when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. Then saith Jesus unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. Peter answered and said unto him, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, that this night, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. Peter said unto him, though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise also said all the disciples. Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little further and fell on his face, and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples, and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, what? Could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Could we go down a little further in the chapter? Where the Lord is speaking in verse 64, Jesus saith unto him, that's the high priest, nevertheless I say unto you, hereafter shall you see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. Then the high priest rent his clothes, saying, he has spoken blasphemy. What further need have we of witnesses? Behold, now ye have heard his blasphemy. What think ye? They answered and said, he is guilty of death. Then did they spit in his face and buffeted him, and others smote him with the palms of their hands, saying, prophesy unto us, thou Christ, who is he that smote thee? Now Peter sat without in the palace, and a damsel came unto him, saying, thou also wast with Jesus of Galilee. But he denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest. And when he was gone out into the porch, another maid saw him, and said unto them that were there, this fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth. And again he denied with an oath, I do not know the man. And after a while came unto him they that stood by, and said to Peter, surely thou also art one of them, for thy speech bewrayeth thee. Then began he to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. And immediately the cock crew. And Peter went up, remembered the words of Jesus, which said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and wept bitterly. Oh, beloved, surely our hearts this afternoon is softened as we remember the sufferings of our Lord Jesus Christ. And as we think of him here at the end of his 3.5 years of ministry, of faithfully preaching the Word of God, and as we remember his love and his kindness, his grace, oh, beloved, he had this testimony that he pleased God. And he also had this testimony even before his enemies, in that they marveled at the gracious words that proceeded out of his mouth. Oh, beloved, sometimes you and I fail in this. How often grace is forgotten in certain occasions when perhaps there is something that affects us individually. Oh, yes. And so, we have this testimony. They marveled at the gracious words that proceeded out of his mouth. And the testimony of his life was this, beloved young people. Never man spake like this man. Ah, as they beheld him, when they listened with their ears, ready to catch him in his words if they could, they marveled. Oh, yes. And at the end of his life, the one who judged him had to confess that he was innocent. The one who betrayed him had to confess that he had betrayed the innocent blood. Oh, yes, there was that perfection in the life of our Lord Jesus Christ. And oh, what an object for you and I today. While we await his return, what an object for us. to follow him. Oh, what a place of safety. Oh, what a path of blessing to follow the Lord Jesus. Well, now we find here that the Lord Jesus had there his own in that upper room. He had instituted the feast of remembrance of himself. And we find that after they had sung the hymn, they went out. And now we find the Lord Jesus speaking to his own and telling them what he was going to suffer. And he could warn them, "All ye shall be offended because of me this night." Oh, what a searching word for the disciples to think that they, not just Judas, not just Peter, but they all would be offended. And you know, Peter could say, "Though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended." Oh, there we get that prominent "I," you know. And it's found in the middle of that word, pride. Yes, the middle word, pride, I. Yes, the middle letter I in that word, pride. And beloved young people, and those of us who are older, that same pride is in the heart of each one of us. Oh, yes, there was only one man that walked through this world without pride, and that's the Lord Jesus, the perfect man. And so here we find Peter. Oh, he's self-confident. And he says, "Though all shall be offended, yet will not I be offended." Well, now the Lord Jesus speaks to Peter, and he says to Peter, "Before the cock crow, you are going to deny me three times." Just think of that. Three times. Is there anyone here who would deny the Lord Jesus this afternoon? Perhaps we might say the same as Peter. "Although others might deny thee, yet I will not deny thee." Oh, dear young people and older ones, you and I, unless kept by the grace of God, there is no depths to which we might sink in sin. And so we have the Lord Jesus speaking to Peter. Oh, he's faithful. He says, "Peter, you're going to deny me three times before the cock crow." Yes, before the morning hour is done, Peter was going to deny the Lord three times. Beloved, if someone this afternoon was to tell you, "You better be careful, you're going to be tested today, and you are going to deny the Lord Jesus," I think I can hear others say with me, "Oh no." But beloved, let's remember Peter. He was self-confident. Yes, he was. And you know, there's that self-confidence in each one of us too often. And the Lord has to humble us in order to teach us a lesson. And so, Peter, you know, is that one whom the Lord chose. The Lord chose Peter to be a fisher of men. And dear young people, if you belong to the Lord Jesus this afternoon, the Lord Jesus Christ has chosen you. We get that in the 15th of John, I believe it is, when he said to his own, "Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you." Yes, and he says, "I have ordained you." What for? That you might bring forth fruit. And this is what God wants in our lives, dear young people. He wants fruit. That which will manifest that we belong to Christ. And so now the test is coming. Peter's been told, and oh, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Just think, knowing that Peter was going to deny him, yet the Lord chose Peter out of those 12 disciples amongst two others. He chose three, and Peter was one, to go with him in that garden. Yes. What does it say in verse 36? Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, Sit ye here, while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Oh, yes, here he is. There's a little distance separates them from the other disciples. And Peter is one of the three that the Lord chose to go a little further, you know. And Peter, he was one of the three that the Lord said these words. What? He says in verse 38, Then saith he unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful even unto death. Tarry here and watch with me. Dear young people, when you read that word watch, I believe in the Word of God, we get the sense, three different senses of that word. Sometimes when you read the word watch, it's referring to the watch during the night, you know. On one occasion, it mentions the third watch. And then in another sense, it might be to look, you know. But I believe the sense here of the word watch is this, to be on our guard, to be prepared. Yes. You know, when men hire people to watch their property, they expect them to be awake. They expect them to patrol around the property and to be on their guard. And so they're not only looking, but they're on their guard. They're prepared for any emergency. The Lord knew that Judas would head that procession of those evil men that were going to come and by wicked hands take a nail to the cross of Calvary. Oh, yes, he knew. Perhaps they were already on their way. And here's the Lord Jesus in that garden. And what's he doing? He's praying. He's praying. Oh, he was a perfect dependent man, beloved. And so he says to Peter, Watch with me. You know, I like that little word, me. The Lord says, Watch with me. You know, if you and I were to be called upon to watch all alone, you know, we might get a little nervous, a little lonesome. But how precious the Lord says, Watch with me. Watch with me. What a privilege, beloved, this afternoon, to watch with the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord had enemies that were on their way. And beloved young people, we have enemies. Yes, the Church of God has enemies. The Assemblies has enemies. And beloved young people, the enemy of your soul and mine is on the watch, ready to catch us off balance. Yes, he is watching to see the least sign of weakness. He knows what our old nature craves. Yes, he knows what that old nature of mine wants. And he's watching my life. He's watching your life, dear young people. And at the opportune time, he will come along with that temptation. Oh, watch with me. Oh, watch with me. Oh, as we think indeed of the evil that is surrounding us in this present world. You know, those of us who are older, we can remember back a good many years. And I'm sure that the oldest here this afternoon would say with me, that the evil in this world is on the increase. The hatred towards God and the Lord Jesus Christ is on the increase. And the power of Satan is on the increase. Beloved Christian friend, this afternoon. Yes, the power of Satan is strong. In a city near where I live, not too long ago, there was this in the paper advertising the devil's church. And amongst that advertising, there was this, that the devil and the Lord Jesus were going to be friends again. Because the Lord Jesus taught the people, love your enemies. And the devil is the Lord's enemy. And so they teach that the Lord and the devil are going to come together again as friends. Oh, beloved young people, if the Lord doesn't come, we don't know what lies will be published in our papers, what lies that we will see with our eyes and hear with our ears. And so this afternoon I would warn you and myself, let's watch, let's be on our guard, let's not go to sleep. I remember a brother, he once took me with him to where he was working that night. And so after the meeting, I drove him to where he was working. And he says, brother, I have to watch all night. But he says, brother, he says, I have a table here. Yes, I have a table. And I surround the table with chairs. And then he says, about midnight, when there's nobody around, he says, I get up on that table and I have 40 winks. Was he a faithful watchman? What happens to you and I when we are asleep? We are unconscious of everything around us. And so that dear man, there he was accustomed to sleep part of the night instead of being awake. We might criticize him, beloved, but what about ourselves? What are we doing? You and I, as children of God, have a responsibility committed to us to watch. Yes, Jesus says, watch with me. And so the man that is asleep, he doesn't know what's going on. And sometimes you young people, I have to confess, sometimes I don't know what's going on. Even sometimes in a meeting, it is possible to have other things before your heart that would cause you to be oblivious to every word that is being uttered in a meeting. Oh, yes, it is possible to go to sleep with your eyes open and your ears open to other things. Oh, the Lord says, watch. Beloved young people, may I urge upon you and myself, let us watch. Let us watch. Let us be on our guard. We have an enemy, and he wants to rob us. Yes, he does. That is why men hire watchmen, because there are those who want to rob and steal. Dear young people, we have an enemy that wants to rob us. Yes, he does. He wants to rob us of the joy of the Lord. He wants to rob us of our testimony. Yes. And he wants us to bring dishonor upon the name of the Lord Jesus. And so, watch with me. Now the Lord, he went a little further, and he fell on his face. And he prayed, saying, "O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt." Here we have the perfect, dependent, obedient man. Yes, there he is. He's praying. He's dependent upon his Father. Are you and I dependent upon God this afternoon? And his will is surrendered. He says, "If it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt." Oh, beloved young people and older ones, is your will this afternoon surrendered to the will of God? We had some remarks made during these meetings about self-will. And I'm sure we all are guilty of self-will. And we have to be on our guard. We have to be watchful. Because that self-will in my heart is going to spring out and manifest itself. And so we have to be on our guard. We have to be in dependence upon the Lord. And when the Lord came back and found them asleep, what did he say? He says, "What? Could ye not watch 1 hour?" 1 hour? 1 hour, beloved, is not very long, is it? And yet those three disciples, they couldn't watch 1 hour. The Lord Jesus didn't ask too much of those, his disciples. And he won't ask too much of you and I, beloved. No, he won't. But he does want to give to you and I responsibility. He wants us to manifest to this world that we belong to him. He wants us to be a testimony that our light will go out to those around us that we belong to Christ. And so here he is. He finds them asleep. And so that little rebuke, "What? Could ye not watch 1 hour? Could it be, dear ones, this afternoon, that we're not willing to watch the little while the Lord Jesus leaves us here? Oh, the little while compared to eternity. Why, we might say it's not 1 hour. No, it's not very long. And so he says to them, "Watch and pray." Now we have the additional word. He not only tells them to watch, but he tells them to pray. Dear young people, do you pray? Older ones, do we pray? How often in the midst of the busyness of this life we neglect to pray? Oh, the Lord says, "Watch and pray." And may I add this, beloved, this afternoon. If you and I do not watch and pray, we have taken the first step in a course of self-will. Oh, self-will is a terrible thing. Self-will will ruin your life. Yes, it will. Self-will may separate you from other dear children of God. Self-will may divide the saints. Self-will may bring dishonor upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Could it be, beloved, this afternoon, that there would be any self-will in my heart that would cause sorrow to the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ? Oh, we need this. Yes, Peter took the first step in that path of self-will when he went to sleep, when he didn't pray. Oh, what a privilege Peter had to be with the Lord. On another occasion, when the Lord was going to manifest to his own, and Peter was again amongst the three that was taken up to that Mount of Transfiguration. And when the Lord Jesus manifested his glory
when Moses and Elias talked with Jesus. Oh, what a wonderful privilege to be at that meeting. But what do we find? The disciples were sleeping. They were unconscious of what was going on. Dear beloved saints of God, how often we miss the blessing in meetings such as this because we are unconscious in our souls of all that's going on. Yes. Oh, watch and pray lest ye enter into temptation. I can think of a dear young man that was a means of my being gathered to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ over 40 years ago. And I have much to thank God for His faithful words of warning to my soul. I have much to thank God because He taught me much. But beloved, this afternoon, I have to confess that dear brother, he didn't watch and pray. He didn't keep his eyes on the Lord. He got his eyes on his brethren. And these many years, he's isolated all by himself. He's lost his testimony. He's lost the joy of the Lord. And I was sad to hear lately that that same dear brother has been deceived by Seventh-day Adventists. Oh, awful, beloved. And so the enemy of our soul is busy this afternoon. He is introducing false doctrine. And we need to be on our guard. We need to be on our guard lest he introduce some false doctrine into our assemblies, into our homes, into our individual lives. Oh, he's ready at all times. He wants to introduce that into our hearts, beloved, that will rob us. Yes, will rob us. Oh, beloved, this afternoon, the Lord wants us to do us good. Yes, he is good. And well, may we bless his holy name. And so watch and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. Well, we find the Lord praying the same words three times. And each time the disciples went to sleep. We might think that after the first little word, what, could you not watch? That they would stay awake. But beloved, we're slow to learn that the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. The flesh is weak. Hence the need to be dependent upon the Lord at all times. And so we'll turn over now. We find that Judas has come, and the soldiers, and the Lord Jesus is taken away before the high priest. And verse 65, after the Lord Jesus bore a faithful testimony to the high priest that he was the Son of God, what do we find the high priest doing? He rent his clothes. Yes, he rent his clothes. When the Lord Jesus acknowledged that he was the Son of God. Oh, how solemn for a high priest to rent his clothes. If you were to turn back to this 21st chapter of Leviticus, you will find that the Lord forbade the high priest to rent his clothes. It was not allowed. And here's the Son of God, the very one who gave that commandment back in the Old Testament. Here he is before the high priest. The high priest rents his clothes. Why? Because Jesus owned that he was a Son of God. Oh, beloved young people and older ones this afternoon, may you and I be found cleaving to the Lord Jesus, dependence upon him at all times. Now we find Peter, he's entering into temptation. Yes. A self-will will always take you into a place of temptation. And now the Lord Jesus is in that judgment hall. Peter, he followed afar off. And he finally went his way into that very hall, into a place of temptation. Dear young people, I want to warn you, if you and I enter into temptation because of self-will, we'll have no power to resist the temptation. And we'll have no right to expect the Lord to help us. The first Psalm tells us this, "Blessed or happy is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, or sitteth in the seat of the scornful." And now Peter, he's walking in the counsel of the ungodly, he's standing in the way of sinners, and he's sitting in the seat of the scornful. Yes, in that company of people, Peter was surrounded by those who hated the Lord Jesus. And now, he has entered into temptation, and the test comes. This man is one of his disciples. And what does Peter say? He denies it. And three times Peter denies that he is one of Jesus' disciples. Isn't this sad? Beloved, there you have a picture of your heart and mine. If we walk in a path of self-will, there'll be no power to resist the temptation. And so watch and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. Now, could we just turn over briefly to several other passages? We might notice perhaps one in 2 Timothy chapter 4. But before reading this verse 5, I'd like to make perhaps another remark in connection with Peter. When Peter denied the Lord the third time, it says the Lord turned and looked upon Peter, and Peter went out and wept bitterly. This morning a brother asked, what is the meaning of repentance? I would like to add perhaps another meaning, and it is this. Repentance is having sorrow in your heart for grieving the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, repentance is having sorrow in your heart. Peter went out and he wept bitterly. Oh yes, there was a manifestation of true repentance. I once talked to a brother because of a path of self-will, and disobedience to the Word of God. This dear brother had to be put away from the Lord's table. And you know, he wept. He wept. But beloved, there was no true repentance with that brother. He wept. He was sorry for the position his sin brought him in that he was excluded from the assembly. Yes, he was sorry that he was bereaved of fellowship of his brethren. He was sorry. But there was no true repentance. There was no sorrow of heart for what he had done in dishonoring the Lord Jesus. Oh, beloved, I trust that you and I, we may keep short accounts with God. I trust that we'll have hearts that will be tender. Yes, that when we do grieve the Lord, we may own it to Him. And how blessed it is to have His Word. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Well, that dear brother, it was a few years went by before he was truly restored. I trust with true repentance. Oh, yes, beloved, there is a repentance that may be just sorrow for the trouble that has been brought into your life because of your self-will. Oh, let's be careful. Let's watch and pray. May I add a remark for the young people, especially the children this afternoon? I never forget a little remark my mother taught me when I was a boy. And I pass it on because, you know, sometimes I go to prayer meetings and I miss children. They're not there. Other times I go to prayer meetings and I see children there. Oh, I want to encourage any children here that go to a prayer meeting. That's where the Lord wants you. My mother taught me, Eric, the prayer meeting is a powerhouse for the assembly. And I've never forgotten that little saying of my mother that she taught me. The prayer meeting is a powerhouse. And beloved, we need that powerhouse. There's no power in ourselves to resist evil. And so we need that power from above. And you know, it's been remarked that communion with the Lord is the power to resist the evil. Yes, to resist the evil. Well, now in 2 Timothy chapter 4, in verse 5, we have the apostle in writing to Timothy. He says, "But watch thou in all things, endure affliction, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry, for I am now ready to be offered up, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing." Oh, how lovely again. Timothy, a young man, he is encouraged to watch in all things. This is important. Be on your guard in all things. Watch, yes, be on your guard. Because we don't know the power of the enemy. We don't realize it often. And so he says, watch in all things, endure afflictions. Oh, the first time afflictions come, perhaps we're tempted to take an easy path. But the apostle writing to Timothy says, watch, endure affliction, do the work of evangelists, make full proof of thy ministry. Make full proof. Oh, dear young people, are you and I making full proof of our ministry? That which the Lord has committed to each one of us. And the apostle could say, the time of my departure is at hand. Yes, he was about to be offered up. That is, to lose his life for the Lord Jesus. And what does he say? Is he full of sorrow? There he's about to be offered up to lose his life. Is he sad? Is there any regrets in his heart for the decision that he made to follow the Lord? No regrets. He says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto also them also that love his appearing. Oh, may I address my remarks to any here who are not saved. Oh, could it be that there may be one that doesn't love the Lord Jesus Christ? I would address my remarks to you this afternoon. I would seek to warn you of your danger. The coming of the Lord is drawing nigh. And dear one, this afternoon, I can tell you on the authority of the Word of God that the Lord Jesus is coming soon. And I can also tell you, beloved young one or older one, this afternoon, there is a joy and there is a peace in knowing the Lord Jesus. And there is that rest of soul that we had before us this morning in doing the will of God. And, beloved, there is a rest that remaineth for the people of God. And if you don't belong to Him, that doesn't include you. And so, this reward is to all those who love His appearing. Well, I mentioned that there were three things. And the first one was watch. And our brother brought before us yesterday that word, follow me. Oh, dear young people, who are you following? Are you following the lust of your own hearts? Are you following some other brother or sister? I want to warn you if you are. The Lord said to Peter, follow me. Let's turn to John 21 for a moment. We find in this chapter, without reading it all, but just remarking on one or two verses, the Lord first of all asked Peter, do you love me? And three times He asked Peter if he loved him. And it could be, dear young people, that we might have to ask you three times this afternoon whether you love the Lord Jesus. Perhaps there might be that in your life that would cause some to have doubts whether you do love the Lord Jesus. Well, the Lord Jesus said to His own, if you love me, keep my commandments. Yes. And He asked Peter. Peter had denied Him. And now the Lord, in front of all, He says, Peter, do you love me? And Peter says, yes. And three times, you know. And the third time, Peter was grieved. Yes, perhaps, dear one, you might be grieved if you are questioned more than once whether you are saved or not. But, oh, I'm sure that if any question whether you are saved or not, I'm sure it is your duty and privilege to prove that you do love the Lord Jesus. And Peter did prove that he loved the Lord. And I like to think of Peter. He could say to the Lord, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Well, that is a comfort to me. The Lord knows that I love Him. I trust that each one here might have that comfort. And so Peter had responsibility committed to him. First of all, feed my lambs and feed my sheep. And may I add this, by the way, even young people can feed those of us who are older. Yes, young people can be a help to those of us who are older. And young people, too, can feed God's lambs. What a privilege it is to feed a lamb. I remember once, and visiting a brother, he had many sheep, and his son took me to the barn because they had some new lambs, and he had several milk bottles, and he gave me one of these baby milk bottles, you know, to feed one of these little lambs, and I had it in my arm, and I fed this little lamb with a baby bottle. Oh, you know, I had a thrill. Yes, that little lamb, it didn't fight to get away from me. No, it was quite content to take that bottle, to drink that milk. Oh, how true this is of children. What a privilege it is to feed the little lambs. And could it be that any one of us might stumble him? God forbid. Oh, the little lambs are precious to Christ. And then comes the added responsibility. Oh, beloved, if you're able to feed the little lambs, then it might be the Lord to give you a privilege to feed the sheep. But I want to tell you this. It's a little harder to feed a sheep. Yes. If you do not know the sheep, if you're not acquainted with it, it becomes a problem to feed a sheep. And beloved, if you and I are going to do it, we have to do it in the meekness and in the grace of our Lord Jesus. We had brought before us the first reading meeting, that verse in Philippians chapter 4, "Let your moderation be known unto all men." And another translation says this, "Let your gentleness be known unto all men." Oh, beloved, I trust that our gentleness might be known to our brethren, to one another. And if it is, beloved, oh, I'm sure that there will be more of a readiness on the part of others to listen to God's word. And so now Peter is told in verse 19, "Follow me. Follow me." And dear ones, may I add this, if you follow any brother, no matter how well taught he might be, you are in danger. But if you follow the Lord Jesus Christ and keep close to him, you will enjoy his company. Yes, you'll enjoy his company. And the closer you keep to him, why, the more you enjoy the communion with him. And so watch, follow me. And the last is this. In closing, 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 24. "And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." Oh, dear ones, this afternoon, as these meetings draw to a close, I trust if there's one here who has never answered to these desires of our Lord Jesus, that you might do so. Oh, let's remember, watch. We need to be watchful. And we need to pray. And we need to follow the Lord. But let's not forget him. Oh, for following him, we will remember him. And this is what he has asked us to do. For how long? Till he comes. Can we sing number 24 in the back of the book? "Nothing but Christ on we tread, the gift on price, God's living bread. With staff in hand and feet well shod, nothing but Christ, the Christ of God. Nothing but Christ has on